Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
June Florey and I are talking Caitlyn, Trump, Joy Behar, and we're shading the hell out of Dancing with the Stars. All that in an inspiring profile in this special episode now. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting here with my next subject at Grant's Rants, the very life-experienced, multidimensional, and granny to me, June Florey. Granny.
Hey, Grant. It's great to be here with you.
I wanted to do this show with you. I don't get to see you too often because we're on two different coasts.
That's right.
But we're here. There's stuff to talk about. We need to get into it. Why not do a podcast together?
Absolutely. We do a lot of podcasts over the phone late at night.
If only those were taped.
Yes.
If only people could hear what we really are saying.
That's right. We have a lot of opinions.
We're both really close. We both talk all the time on the phone. So we have a lot of different things we want to talk about, as well as the one-on-one segment is going to be very interesting. You have a very interesting life story. You've been through a lot of stuff. Like I said, multidimensional doesn't really cover it, and very inspiring. So you're going to want to stick around for that portion no matter what. Now, coming up with topics between the two of us was kind of a challenge because we're from two different generations.
That's right. We're from six different generations.
Holy crap.
I was, when you were born, I was 60 years old.
So
you are now 26 and I am 86. But we still have a lot that we can talk about.
Yeah.
And I have a very open mind for my age. I'm not one of these older people that is really, really narrow-minded about things and have, you know, these definite thoughts. You know, my idea in life was always to live is to change. You have to go along with change. If you don't go along with change, you're left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of experiences in my life so that I can be very open and flexible about things. I don't have any ideas that can't be changed.
Right.
A lot of people are very, very, you know, stiff at this age. Their habits are so hard to die, but mine aren't.
Right. Well, that's what makes it.
I can still be very flexible. I can see both sides of the younger generation, the middle generation, because I've been there.
Let's start with the most controversial topic of the year, I guess, to most, maybe not to us. But, you know, I said on the first episode here, I will not be discussing Kardashians, and that stays true. I have no interest in talking about them.
No, I don't either.
And you can go anywhere to hear that. But who I do want to talk to you about is Caitlyn. You know, you're of a certain age, and you know, like you mentioned, you're very open-minded, which is great, and I love progressive thinkers, especially on this show. But, you know, as someone of your age, what did you make of this transition, especially a man who transitioned later in life? You know, not a lot of people can really understand, wrap their mind around it. What was your initial reaction?
My initial reaction was not a reaction at all, because I know somebody from, say, 18 years ago, who was a man and has transitioned to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I know him. I've spoken with him. And so I'm not shocked by anything. The only thing that I feel about Caitlyn Jenner is that if she really wanted to be a woman, then she should be a woman the way she would really look at 65 years of age. You know, she's had all this work done and you know, all these facial things done and body work done. And she wants to look like a fashion plate. Well, most women of 65 don't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if she really wanted to be true to herself and looked like a woman of 65, then she should have looked like a woman of 65 with the wrinkles, the bags under the eyes.
Her new face cost her reportedly $70,000.
Well, good for her if she could afford that.
Well, that's a big controversy right now in the transgender community. that, you know, when you go for these surgeries, they're very costly, they're out of pocket, and a lot of people can't do those type of extensive surgeries, the very best of.
Yep.
So it's a kind of a hot topic in that community because she's now being viewed as kind of the face of, or you know, the most recognizable person in that community at the moment.
The image of the transgender
community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so to most people, some people are hurt by that because it's like, well, she's in unrealistic circumstances.
Exactly. She's not realistic. She should have transgendered into a woman of 65 years old. She's trying to look like a woman of 45 years old. I mean, she can afford all that work. A lot of people can't. Now, the person that I know that transgendered, I know that they went through all the different phases and all the different operations and all, but I'm sure it didn't cost them $70,000.
Well, that was just on the face. It was reportedly $4 million at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, that's really ridiculous. I mean, if you want to be real and you want to transgender, then you should do it in a normal, natural way. Now, this person that I know that's transgendered, they still, to me, have the body of a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they walk like a man, they move like a man, they have the big hands, the big feet. If you saw them from the back, you would say it was a man. Only when she turns around, you see that she has boobs, she's wearing makeup, she wears her hair kind of in a feminine way, but in the summer she pulls it back into a ponytail, she wears earrings, and she's a very pleasant person to talk to, very friendly, very outgoing. Her voice is kind of a little bit high-pitched, but it has that little timbre of a male underneath. But, I mean, I respect her if that's what she wants. I feel as though everybody in life should be who they want to be. They shouldn't be judged.
Yeah.
The same with gays and lesbians. If they feel that that's the way they are, that is a genetic thing. So if they are a gay or a lesbian person, I say all the more power to them. That this is a genetic thing, and everyone should have the right to live the way they want to live and be happy in their own bodies. As long as they're not harming anybody else, that's fine, and I have nothing bad to say about it.
Yeah, what can you even say?
Nothing.
Nothing to do. People
I am convinced that there are four sexes. There's the male, there's the female, there's the lesbian, and there is the gay. And there are four sexes. And if some people want to change from one sex to the other, they have every right to do so, as long as they're not harming anybody.
So interesting.
That's how I feel about it.
The one thing we learned about Bruce and Caitlin was that they are a Republican. And kind of interesting for someone who, you know, making a transition so liberal and, you know, looking at the Republican Party right now, we're looking a lot at Donald Trump. You and I have talked about Donald a few times. You know, my opinion on the whole thing is it's just too damn early for me to be bothered, to be so involved with following this whole rat race. I do hear, though, that those debates are quite entertaining and that they're like SNL.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
I try to see as many as I can. I always thought a lot about Donald Trump. I read his book years and years ago called The Art of the Deal, and I was fascinated by it. He's a very smart man, and he's worked his way up. Yeah, his father helped him a little, but boy, he turned that money that his father gave him into billions and billions of dollars. And I think the people in this country... he's saying and doing what they all been wanting to say and do for years. It's almost like he's the head of a revolution.
Now, you don't find his comments to be off color or him to be as controversial as the media makes him out to be, or do you?
They are off color, and he is controversial, but the people love it. They love that he is that way. Because we're so damn sick of all this political correctness. It's ridiculous. You have to be careful of every word you say, every step you take, for fear of hurting somebody. I mean, it's absolutely out of control. Mm-hmm. That poor Paula Deen, they absolutely crucified that woman. And she's the kind of a person that took it very, very sensitively. They destroyed her. They're not going to do that to Trump, and that's what we love. That Paula Deen, she apologized over and over and over again for something she did like 30 years ago that everybody else did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, I understand she's coming back on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, but I just want to go back to Trump real quick. Now, the controversy with him, you know, in most cases, started with his comments about the Mexican people, and then NBC was real quick to cut ties with him entirely. The full organization, the full Trump organization, they washed their hands of him. Now, NBC had picked up The Celebrity Apprentice, my favorite show, and they were gearing up on pre-production. And now they have to go and find a new host and all that, and it has to be a nightmare for the production staff. Do you think it was a good idea for NBC to say, look, we're doing the show, we're going to continue to do Celebrity Apprentice, but not with you?
They're making a big mistake. Because they'll never get anybody that will be able to do Celebrity Apprentice like he did. And he really could care less. He doesn't need NBC. They needed him more than he needed them. You know, and there's another thing. There they go again, being so afraid of people that are not politically correct.
Yeah.
So it's their problem.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it was a move they had to make because it's just in this world of being so politically correct.
Yeah, well, that's the whole
thing.
They
have no choice, really.
They would have really been more respected by the people if they had kept Celebrity Apprentice and not be so afraid.
Well, by certain groups of people, they would be respected, but not. But, I mean, you know, the press could say, look, NBC stands against the Mexican people with Trump if they kept him.
He has a lot of Mexican people working for him. He has nothing against those people. He does have it against the people that come here illegally and bring a lot of problems to us. Mm-hmm. That's what he's against. He's not against the Mexican people. He employs a lot of those Mexican people.
Right.
And they're good people.
When you make any type of comment, it's if they make it into an overarching controversy,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're quite a fan of Trump.
I am. I've always been. I've always admired him. From when I was very young, I mean, he was up and coming. Like I said, I read his book years ago about The Art of the Deal. I was fascinated by him because he's a very smart person. Very, very smart. And I don't know how he would be if he did get into office. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different to be the head honcho of a business. A little bit different when you have to deal with the Senate and Congress and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, he really, really is a very, very independent person. He doesn't need any help from anybody financially.
And that's something different. He's not looking
for
super
PACs. So he doesn't have to kowtow to anybody.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
You know, I find him entertaining. I think that this way he acts and behaves and his ego and everything can be quite entertaining.
Oh, yeah. He's got a big ego.
Yeah, I mean,
I think most men that become successful do have big egos. But, you know, one thing I have to say, I have a lot of respect for him and his family. You don't hear anything distasteful about any of his children.
Mm-hmm.
They've grown up with a lot of money. They're very, very, you know, rich. They could have gotten into a lot of trouble, but they didn't. He keeps them working. And people asked him, you know, if when you're running for president, you're going to go off on the road and you have to do all these talks and things, who's going to run your business? My children are going to run it. They're all trained and they have it running perfectly.
That's true.
I give him credit. His kids could have gone a lot of the ways. A lot of these other rich celebrities' kids have gone with drugs and off the road and doing all these crazy things, DUIs and all that. Mm-hmm. You don't hear anything like that about his kids.
Yeah. And you don't see them on other shows, really. Like, Ivanka, she's got such a strong brand. She's beautiful. Yeah. She's young. She could make a great show on E! But she doesn't go and do that. She's working, you know, independently
for her father.
She's a
very, very good image for him. She's a mother. She's got a good marriage. She's got a couple of kids. And like I say, you don't hear anything distasteful about any of them. He did a good job in bringing up those kids.
You never know what they hide, but, you know,
everybody's got something in their closets, but as long as, you know, we don't know about it, maybe there isn't anything.
Right.
But, I mean, someone who sat brought up that privileged, they've really stayed on a good road.
Right. Well, one show that you keep mentioning to me is Unreal.
Oh,
I know you watched that show with, like, a magnifying glass. It gave you a real inside look into what it's like to make these shows. And then, you would talk to me about it all the time. I did watch it a little bit, but I didn't complete the show.
I was fascinated by that show. And it's really an eye-opener. It may be a little bit, you know, pushed a little farther than the truth, but I think most of it was the way things really are behind these reality shows. Those people are absolutely vicious. They don't care. They play on all their weak points. They look up stuff about them. They bring it up to them, and they edit and put, like, if somebody is really upset about something that has nothing to do with the show, they'll play it up and they'll put it wherever they want. Mm-hmm. And then they'll go behind the scenes and they'll start little gossips about somebody else just to get things going, make it dramatic. Mm-hmm. They want all this drama.
There is a lot of that, and you see some of that in the field. You see people, different producers say different things to certain people and kind of light a fire under this
spread.
That's where a lot of the, I heard you said, blah, blah, blah,
and
stuff comes from.
And the two women that were the head ones in that show, they were perfectly the opposites of one another. They were very well cast. The one that ran the show, she was like hot as nails. She had this real raspy voice that really, really got on your nerves. You just love to hate her, the way she treated those people. And the other one was kind of like indebted to her, but she was a very like weak looking little thing, kind of like a waify type that, you know, was indebted to this bitch because she had something on her. And she mentally, she was kind of really, really emotionally weak. And so, I mean, the way they treated those people on the show was absolutely unbelievable.
Another thing that they do in the shows is that they will get different lines from different people and they'll build sentences from different conversations.
Oh, yeah.
There was another reality show I learned about recently. I believe it was Chopped. And there was a girl on the show, and she said they built a whole storyline around a sentence I never even said. They just built the sentence. And it made me look terrible. They picked and cherry-picked words and built and strung a sentence together. And that was my storyline. Something I never even said. Except those words were out of my mouth, but out of context.
That's what they show on this Unreal. I hope that this was a little bit exaggerated. Because if those reality shows work like that behind the scenes, they are absolutely cruel and brutal to the people that are playing on those shows.
Right. Well, Unreal is set to come back for a second season. I know you're so excited
for this. I am ready to. I was fascinated by it. And if people haven't seen it, I suggest that you do look at it.
Well, let's talk about Dancing with the Stars. You mentioned it earlier. You mentioned Paula Deen. I want to kind of go over who's on the show and, you know, and who captures both of our attention. Who do we both know? I bet that it's going to be a small list. Which, if you don't know them, I should know them. And if I don't know them, you should know them at this point. Let's see. Tamar Braxton's first on the list. Toni Braxton's sister. She has a show on, she's called The Real. She's got a couple of other shows, Braxton Family Values. What do you think?
Don't know her.
Okay. Gary Busey. He is celebrating his 45th anniversary in show business, and he's on Dancing with the Stars.
I've seen him on Celebrity Apprentice. He is a piece of work. Let me tell you, he is off the wall. Yeah. I mean, he was in a terrible accident where half of his brain fell out.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was on Celebrity Apprentice, and he really, I mean, he was really a detriment to that show. He made himself such a pain in the neck. But, you know.
But will he be a good dancer?
That remains to be seen.
I don't think so.
I pity the person that has to teach him.
Yeah.
Because he'll end up trying to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
He's not going to be easy.
He's going to be with that Anna Tribunskaya, and she's been on there for a while, so it'll be interesting.
Good luck to Anna.
Nick Carter is going to be on there. I know who he is.
Nick Carter.
He's from the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, okay.
He's been on a bunch of things. He's trying to keep that career going, but he does have a strong fan base, so he'll probably be on there for a while. He could be a real contender because he's got that boy band, you know, background him.
Yeah.
You know?
He's for the younger generation.
Yeah. Paula Deen, she'll be there. She'll probably do well. I think this is going to be a turning point for her.
I hope so. I feel bad for Paula Deen. They put her through hell.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just the type of a person that they knew that they could get to because she's a very sensitive kind of person. So, I mean, you know, they really destroyed that woman.
Yeah.
So I hope that this helps bring her back a little bit.
Me too. Victor Espinoza, he won the Triple Crown earlier this year at the Kentucky Derby.
That's
a typical Dancing with the Stars cast.
Yeah, yeah.
Singer Andy Grammer, I know who he is. I don't expect you to know him. What do you think?
Grammer?
Andy Grammer.
Anything to the Grammer on the Housewives?
Oh, no, I wish. I wish they put Camille on here.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
This next one kind of pisses me off. Hayes Greer.
Who's that?
He's a Vine star and a social media mogul. He has more than 2 million Twitter followers. That's it.
Huh. Now, that's his claim to fame?
He's a star, don't you know?
Huh.
He's a star. It drives me crazy. He's on a live tour across the United States. I mean, whatever. Really? Bindi Irwin, she's 17 years old. Remember her father. She's going to be on there.
That's the one with the alligators?
Yeah.
So I kind of lost track of her. Mm-hmm. I knew her when she was very young, when her father was out there with the alligators, but I really don't have that much of an interest in her.
No. Well, I don't have much of interest in any of these people. Chaka Khan, she's going to be on there. That's kind of surprised. They seem to be getting these people, these female singers from years ago on here.
Yeah.
They had on Patti LaBelle.
People that kind of are looking for maybe a you know, to come back a little bit into the spotlight, so they're willing to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few others on here, but I don't even know who they are at all. There's an Army National Guard specialist. That's good. They always try to put somebody on there that has actually done something in life that is, you know.
Anybody on there that has some kind of a disability?
Probably.
Because they always have somebody that has some kind of a disability.
All right, and Kim Zolciak, she's going to be on there from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. She has her own following, but the Housewives never do well on this. It's just not their thing. Do you remember when Lisa Vanderpump was on?
Yes.
It was like very anticlimactic.
Right.
Yeah, so do you even watch Dancing with the Stars anymore?
No, I don't. I don't watch it anymore. First of all, I don't watch it because I can't stand the judges. I'm not sure of their names.
There's Bruno. Italian guy.
He's got to stand up all the time and be so dramatic about everything. He's got such an ego. He's got to get up there and that's it. And then the other one.
I literally can't even be bothered to look at the show.
And then the other judge that speaks with a lisp.
Len Goodman.
Goodman, you know. Please, I mean, he's telling them what they should do to improve their dancing. He should do something to improve his speech. I mean, he really, really, I can't take it.
Is he your least favorite? Is he your least favorite?
Well, the both of them are kind of equal.
Yeah.
Carrie Ann and Abba, I mean, she's okay. She's gotten very, you know, kind of full of herself. It's made her feel so important to mm-hmm. do this, to judge all these people.
Well,
Juliette Hough, I haven't really looked at since she's become a judge, but she's a very talented dancer and a beautiful person. But I don't look at it because not only for the judges, but it's turned into like kind of an exhibitionist show. These women come out, they're practically nude, some of them. It's turned into like not only a dancing show, but they've thrown in all this sex stuff with it. If you're going to dance, dance. We don't have to see half of your butt and half of your boobs.
Well, this show to me has just passed its prime. It's hanging out there, and it's just, it needs a big refresher to it.
Absolutely.
And it's not just a different host. Now, apparently ABC has been had it out for that Len Goodman for a while. They've wanted to get him out of there because he's just appears to be too old on the show. But he's big with that brand. He does it over in Europe. He does it in the United States. I don't think they can shake him off of that. He must have a very good deal there. So they can't get rid of him. So that's why they put on that Julianne to try to add some youth, some new breath of life.
Yes.
But yeah, no. But that Bruno, I can't even be bothered. I can't watch the show. I have a problem when it comes to the hosts. Brooke Burke. I know she's not there anymore, but that's for a reason. Erin Andrews, wrong venue for her. Wrong type of show to put her on. She's an ESPN chick. I'm not saying she can't do it. It just doesn't work, in my opinion. Tom Bergeron, I never could be bothered with him. I'm not a fan of his, and I'm not a fan of that show, that America's Funniest Videos.
I'm not either. I don't like to look at that show because I think it's terrible to laugh when people get hurt. And that's what a lot of it is about. Who falls out of a tree? Who trips over this?
Well, not only
who bangs their heads?
And who
I don't
needs
think it's
it?
That funny.
And who needs it? You can go online and watch viral videos.
Absolutely.
That show is from another time. Like, it's really, it's like almost shows that wouldn't be on the air that were popular back in the 70s. Like, that's how I feel about that show. That was like a 90s show. It's from another time.
Yes. Yep.
Talk about a show from another time. It's coming back. I have to talk about The View. I want to make an announcement. I will be watching the next couple of episodes, possibly the whole new season of The View. They've got me interested because Joy Behar's coming back. And I hate watch this show for, as you know, Rani, a long time. And now I'm going to rewatch it because I want to see what they're going to do with her. She supposedly has some creative control that was part of the deal. I want to see the dynamics of it. I don't expect it to be good. I think it's a last-ditch effort to have her on there. I call it a last-bitch effort because they have to pull her back on their Joy. It's like the show is in the worst shape. There was an article out in TV Guide even questioning why the show was even relevant anymore. What do you think? Is that panel going to pull you back into the show?
No, absolutely not. I gave up looking at The View a long time ago. They just got so stale. You know, when that Elizabeth Hasselbeck was on, I really didn't care for her that much. She was so one-sided, you know, so right-wing and all.
Oh, they're trying to bring that whole versus, you know, that whole fight thing back.
You know, these women talk shows, I mean, they're okay. I like Joy Behar. I mean, I'm glad they're bringing her back. But I think that she's going to have a hell of a lot of pull on her own to bring that show back to be interesting. Maybe because I'm of the older generation and most of the women on there are of the younger generation. And I have no, you know, odds with that. But it really doesn't appeal to me. Mm-hmm. I like Joy. But like I said, I'm not interested And they talk about a lot of topics that I'm really not interested in.
Well, they've watered down the show to absolute junk.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's not even controversial.
There's nothing substantial
that
they talk about.
No. And you know, and I'll be real. You know, Joy Behar left that show to go light up Hollywood. She thought, you know, she got a few little short movie stints, and she wanted to have that show on HLN that didn't work. She had the show on the other network that didn't happen. You know, well, it did for a very short period of time. But she, you know, she thought she was going to be able to stand on her own, you know, in her 70s.
Yeah.
And now she's back, and, you know, this, it speaks to the state of this show when they have to pull, and I don't mean to be ageist or mean, but, I mean, look at the show for what it is. It's in such lousy, terrible shape that the only solution is to bring back this woman in her 70s. And she's supposed to be the one that's going to, you know, revitalize the whole show and make it relevant again. That's it. That's the best they can do. They're a network talk show.
Well, all I can say is best of luck to her, because she's got a big job ahead of her, a big challenge to bring that show back to be interesting, because it's been very, very uninteresting for so long.
Lousy.
So
terrible.
I might look at it once just to see what she's up to.
Well, don't worry. If you're not impressed with the main panel, a group of contributors that are set to kind of fill in, you know, a rotating chair, are there. Padma Lakshmi, Stacey London, Ada Navarro, Molly Sims, and Sherry Shepherd is back to the table.
Oh, God. They're really, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel. That's all I can say. Good luck to them.
That was somebody else they literally threw off the set of the show.
Yes.
They couldn't drop her fast enough when she had all those legal problems, and it was just her time to go, and she should have never been hired on that show. She didn't know the world was round. I mean, that's like just scratching the surface. I could do a whole 40-minute podcast about Sherry, the world is flat, Shepherd.
Yeah.
The thing with me is, the same thing with Joy. We've heard their opinions. Joy was on the show since season one. Like, you know, we know what they feel. We know Sherry's not going to really have any feelings politically. You know,
no.
She's not going to engage in any of those conversations. She's going to be the comic relief, which we already have comedians. Whoopi Goldberg's enough. This Michelle Collins is there. You know, Raven's got her own, you know, her own thing going on. I don't know what we need to have Sherry Shepherd on the show for.
Well, like I say, I mean, they're really stretching it if they have to rehire her.
It gets me upset and angry. The blood pressure rises, and I don't need it.
No, absolutely.
I don't need it.
I want to look at television to enjoy myself, not get aggravated and have to talk back to the screen.
Oh, all I do is scream at the show. All I do, and Barbara's on. When she was on those shows, that's when I would lose my voice over it.
Yeah, I think The View really should take another view. Start looking out the door to exit.
Yeah, I think so. I think The View is going to be lights off, dark.
Exactly.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
I want to talk to you about you. There's, I've been really looking forward to having this conversation, actually, and I think it's great that we kind of get to document this, since so many of our chats are undocumented.
Yeah.
You know, this podcast is fairly new. Creating this show and coming from AfterBuzz TV was something that I kind of just took a chance on, but it was something I was always interested in doing, because growing up, I remember you would mention that you would call into different radio stations, WPRO. Is that it, or what is it?
Oh, yeah, I still do.
Yeah, well, yeah, you told me a story not too long ago of a recent call you had by, one of the shows. But it was kind of like, when I remember hearing that as a kid, I was like, oh, you can do that? Like, you don't need to be, like, you know, trained, or, you know, you don't need to have, like, this, you know, you need to be a scholar, you know, to be able to come in, like, on a TV show. That kind of broke that wall of accessibility for me. And I said, well, okay, you know, you can call in and have an opinion about something, and it's valid enough to get on air. And you would do it, and you wouldn't really think anything of it.
Right.
And so when the opportunity came for me to kind of speak on a public level about my opinion on these shows, whatever, you know, it was something like I knew I could do. You know, I kind of felt like, you know, watching you do it, it was something that, you know, I could kind of feel out and yeah. test the waters. And now it's brought me to this point where I can do this little show.
Right.
So, yeah, I just, I don't know, that was like a moment for me by seeing you do it that I could do it.
Right.
You know?
I still do. I've always been very vocal about my opinions, and I'm not afraid to say them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I listen to the talk shows every day, and I learn a lot. I really do. I know what's going on all the time. I'm very up on the news, local news, national news, and I call up and give my opinions, too, mm-hmm. if I want to.
Well, it gave me the confidence to do it myself, even if I was commenting on Mob Wives or, you know, some yeah. ridiculous reality show. It kind of gave me that, like, okay, I can do this too type feeling.
Absolutely. Well, I've always been, like I said, always gave my opinion all the time, whether people really wanted it or not.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to speak up, and I'm still the same.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, you know, I was always that way. I remember a couple of times when I was young, you know, I wouldn't be afraid to give people my opinion about things or mm-hmm. speak up for myself, even to adults. I didn't care. If I thought I was right, I would say it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when I was growing up, it was a completely different generation. I was, you know, I was the last one born of three sisters. And my claim to fame was that my mother would introduce me to everyone as the mistake.
Yeah.
Because when she had me, she thought she was in her early 40s and she thought she was changing life.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it turned out to be me. And she was happy, I guess, that I was born, but like it was a mistake, you know. She didn't expect a baby. She thought it was changing life. But anyway, I accepted that. Or she'd introduce me to people, and this is the baby. Oh, I used to hate that.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
I
either.
Was brought up in kind of a, you know, normal Italian family. My father came to this country when he was 14, and he was a very self-made man. He died at the age of 53, but he had built up a beautiful construction business. He couldn't speak any English when he came here. He went to night school. He learned English, and he spoke even without an accent. And then he went to Rhode Island School of Design for 4 years, nights, while he worked days, learned to read plans and become an architect. And I can remember he'd be up very late at night with these big, big blueprints all over this big table that he had made to open up, to hold the long blueprints. And he built a lot of churches, schools, houses, big buildings. But he was very, very strict. Now, I loved school. I couldn't learn enough. I wasn't good at math, but I loved all the languages. I took French for 4 years. I could read it. I could translate it. I could speak it. And I had a wonderful French teacher. And I wanted to become a journalist. I loved to write. I used to love to create stories and write. And so I wanted to go to Boston College to become a journalist. So I took all the college courses that I had to take to get there. Well, I graduated with honors. I was on the Honor Society. But the last year of my high school, my father got cancer. And he only lasted about a year. And he died before I graduated. He died October the 14th, and I graduated the following January. So I knew that we didn't have the money for me to go to Boston College. In those days, there was no such thing as student loans, no such thing as if you're a single parent, your child gets help, nothing like that. So, of course, I always had to have Plan B.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that I had to earn some kind of a living So I decided that I would go to business school for 1 year. Mm-hmm. So I went to Bryant, and I studied very hard, and I did very well there. And I got some good jobs, and I finally got a good job with the state, which is a blessing for me today because I get my pension. And if I didn't get that, I wouldn't be able to survive. But over the years, I've done a lot of interesting things. I've gone on a lot of different trips. I've met a lot of interesting people. After I worked as a secretary for a few years, I did get married and brought up a family.
You've been in Rhode Island your whole life.
I've been in Rhode Island my whole life, yeah. But I'm open to travel. I'm open to being interested in a lot of different cultures. I became a volunteer, and I taught this Chinese girl how to write, speak English, and I followed her all the way through to getting her citizenship. She was in a marriage where her husband was very, very dominating. I find that to be true with a lot of these girls that come from another country and marry an American. Mm-hmm. They're very indebted to them, and they don't have many rights. And that's the kind of a marriage that she was in. So I stayed with her, and she was a good student. And I said to her, if you get your citizenship, you will have your independence, and you can't be threatened to be sent back to China because you will be a citizen. So I stayed with her, and she got her citizenship, and so she became a much more independent person. Mm-hmm. So I was glad I was able to do that for her.
Yeah, you've never been afraid to give back to when you can. You know, I feel like you know, you definitely haven't had the easiest life, and you've had a lot of challenges, but you also are never bitter about it. You're still there to help people,
even
if you're close to them, know them, related to them or not. And that's a great example with her. You really saved, you know, changed that girl's life in many different ways.
I did. Gave her a whole new outlook on life.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to do some kind of volunteer work when I retired, but my life changed because at the age of 67, I got a divorce, and I was married for 46 years, and a lot of people thought I was insane to get a divorce at 67, but I felt as though I had to make a different life for myself. I was going down, down, down into the depths, and I had to survive. And if I had to survive, I had to get out of that marriage. And I have no bitter feelings about him, but thank God I have made a new life for myself, a lot more challenges. I've been able to do a lot of things that I wasn't able to do when I was married, and I had to go out at 67 and try to find a job because I didn't have enough money after the divorce to live on. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where I was going to live. I didn't know how much money I was going to have to live on, but I knew I had to change my life. So I just put my hands in the Lord.
I was going to say, how did you keep moving? What was your motivation to be able to get through the real tough, tough times?
Well, when it came to the point that it was really tough, I always had faith that it was going to work out. I put myself in the Lord's hands, and I said, I can't do anything else. I just put myself in your hands, and you're going to guide me in the right direction. And it happened. I went through 2 years of living alone before the divorce went final. I had no money to live on, so I did the best I could with the little bit of money that I got in my pension. I didn't let any of the bills go. I paid everything. I went to anybody that I could get help from. I looked into things, and I got like free food at different places. I volunteered at the hospital, and I worked at the desk at the hospital, and I'm always very creative. I've painted for years. I've done painting. Mm-hmm. And I started, I started painting about 54, 53 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I work in all kinds of mediums. And
yeah, I want to get into everything you do, but I want to hear about what happened with the hospital first.
Well, I went to work in the hospital as a volunteer. And I was very creative. I used to paint slates, and I put them on little easels, little small slates. I made all kinds of wreaths, and I was lucky. When I volunteered at the hospital, I was in the gift shop, and the information desk was there also. So I did both things. So I brought a lot of my stuff to the gift shop, and I made money on that. So there was always... You know, there's always, God will provide mm-hmm. in one way or another. You come out of it.
Yeah.
It's something always happens to give you that break. So, you know, not only did I volunteer, but I made money doing it that I didn't plan on, but it helped.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when I got the divorce, I had to go out and work for real. So at 67, I had been retired from 61. I hadn't worked out in the field for a long time. I had faith. I said, I'll find something. Even at 67, I'll find something. I went from one end of the state to the other. I pulled up every possible talent that I had. And I'm good talking. Mm-hmm. I'm a good talker.
Yep.
So I found a job talking. I worked for the journal.
The Providence Journal.
I got in because
yeah.
I worked the hours that nobody else wanted to work. I worked nights. I worked weekends because I wasn't doing anything anyway. And that carried me through. And then when I finally had to sell the house, I made very little money on it. But God provided. I found my little place where I live now, my little mobile home. Very happy there. And I worked at the Journal. I still went into Providence from Coventry three nights a week. I got a job working at a condo, helping her sell the condos because I could work weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Then from there, I got a job working in the condo builder's office. So I'd go there on a Tuesday and a Thursday morning, and I'd work in the office. Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, I'd go work in the condo. Saturday and Sunday, I'd go work in the condo. I'd still go one night a week to the Journal. And then I got a job at AAA. I always on the phones talking.
Mm-hmm. So, I forgot about that AAA job.
Yeah, I worked at AAA. Then after the mortgage company, I worked in two or three other companies, and you can't believe some of the characters that I worked with just to earn a buck.
So when did you finally retire?
I finally retired at the age of 79.
Wow.
I worked all those years, and I had four jobs going. To make ends meet, I had four jobs going. So I retired at 79. And if I could find a little job today, I'd be more than happy to work one or two days a week because I love to be productive. Yeah. And I loved that little paycheck. There's nothing like getting that paycheck and knowing you can do what you want with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been very frugal with my money. I was always a saver. Mm-hmm. I always had one thing, pay yourself first. When you get that paycheck, put a little money to one side for yourself. And then you take care of your bills.
Well, even though you're not working a 9-to-5 job or a weekend job or all those crazy hours, you're still not sitting around watching TV. We know you're not watching The View. You're doing a lot of stuff. You have a very large garden you take care of. You're now on the computer. You're online. You taught yourself the computer.
I'm never, never still. The only time I sit down is about 7:30 at night or 8 o'clock, and I watch a couple of shows. But other than that, I am never quiet. I'm always busy. No moss grows under my feet.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that you keep yourself busy with, because I think a lot of people, including myself, would find it very inspiring that you really don't give a damn about how old you are or what things really cost that much. You go out and you just do it. You live your life to the fullest. You're teaching yourself things that most people your age wouldn't even know how to turn on or access or people could read. I mean, you're doing all these things.
Well, first of all, I love painting. I've always painted. I belong to the East Greenwich Art Club. I was on the hospitality committee there for a long time. I go into all their art shows. There's a benefit coming up. I'm going to donate a couple of my paintings for this child who had to have a liver transplant. So I feel as though my paintings are doing some good for somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give them a couple of paintings, and hopefully they can auction them off and help this child's family pay off some of these tremendous medical bills that they have.
And there you are giving back to somebody again with what you have.
Yes. Yep. If I can help anybody out in any way, I'm right there.
It's true. That's 100% true.
If I can help them out physically or, you know, verbally, I'm happy to do it. I feel as though as long as I can be useful and productive on this earth, that I still have a work to do and a mission to accomplish.
Right.
So that's how I feel. I've been very busy all my life bringing up a family. I had all my sisters and my mother all ill. I took care of all of them until they passed away. I helped my ex-husband a lot with his business, helping him with his prosthesis because he lost his arm when he was 6 years old. I brought him back to life. He got good jobs after he got the prosthesis. I was happy to do it all. I really was. And happy to help my family, my grandkids, and anybody else that needs help. So I've been busy with painting all my life. I'm very interested in nature, my garden. I love working in my garden as much as I can do now. I know all about the plants, the flowers. I have a load of perennials now. So I love that.
And you're reteaching yourself the piano.
I always played the piano when I was young. I was a very good classical pianist. I played some very difficult piano pieces. Mm-hmm. But when I got married and left home, I never had room for a piano in my house. So I lost touch with it. Mm-hmm. But now I have the time to go back and try to learn it again. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to do. I've always created. I can't tell you how many crafts I've done in my life. There must be hundreds.
Yeah. And the macaroni people you made. That's like the smallest of them all you've done. Jewelry, clothing.
Pasta and beads, all kinds of knitted stuff.
Yeah.
Wreaths, floral arrangements, sun catchers. Angels made out of pasta.
Plates.
Pasta and beads, all with the beads and pasta. I would dye all the pasta with all kinds of vegetable juices and stuff, like beet juice and orange juice, and make them all different colors. And I loved all that stuff. I really did.
Yeah.
And I've got to the point where I really couldn't read about any more crafts or see anything more, because everything I'd see, I'd say, I can do that. I can make that. All I have to do is look at it once and I could make it.
You were just looking at this ornate bowl the other day. It was made out of all bits of wood. And you were looking at it, and the first thing it says, I can make this. And you were giving it the eye. You know, you were looking behind it, over it, around it.
Yeah, I could really make it.
And you could make it.
I could make it. Yeah, I was blessed with that. Yeah.
So something you've always said is one life is not enough.
Oh, never. I could go on forever. I want to write.
I was going to say, so what's next for you?
Well, I want to write. I'm going to write not like a biography, but I want to write like little excerpts from my life, you know, little things that happened to me, nice things, pleasant things. I don't want to go back and be bitter about anything.
Nah,
I want to write about nice things that happened to me, funny things. I've had so many experiences, you know, I'm willing to try anything once.
Right.
And I've oh, I've had so many experiences going to Italy with Teresa and going to Florida with her and that camper up in Maine with my neighbor. And mm-hmm. I have so many funny stories I could tell. So I want to get it all down and write a book.
I think
and
you should.
Now I'm in the middle of making all these beautiful mussel wreaths with mussel shells. And I like to do it with the mussel shells because the mussels are considered like not a pretty shell. They're not like a scallop shell.
Right.
You know, they're just a plain, low-down mussel shell.
Mm-hmm.
But I can make them beautiful.
Yeah.
And when people look at them, they go, wow. And I love that.
Yeah.
And when I make a painting or when I do my little tiny table slates and I sell them at a craft show, I love it when people come along and say, wow, did you paint all these? They're beautiful. And maybe they'll buy one and maybe they won't.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I've done craft shows for years and art shows for years. And I'm going to continue to do whatever I can.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things at my age that I can't do anymore. But I'm very thankful for what I can do.
And with keeping up with all of these different things that you do, constantly going, you know, you're not even home that much. You're out because you're in a relationship.
He's a wonderful person, a professional musician in his day. So we've been together for 7 years, something I never expected. I wasn't interested in meeting anybody else. I was very independent. I was very happy to live by myself and be alone. But we've really enjoyed each other's company, and it's been like a whole new life for me. This is like my fourth life. And we've gone many beautiful places together. Gone on cruises, we've gone to Las Vegas, Florida.
And we went overseas too.
And we went to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And we see each other on the weekends. And it's been a very interesting, I've done a lot of things that I never thought I would ever be able to do or could afford to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, you never know what's around the corner for you in this life. So you have to always keep going, keep positive, keep mm-hmm. the faith, and good things will come your way.
That's true. You always say keep the faith. This has been a special edition of Grant's Rants for me. It shows a little bit of where I come from and my motivation and how I keep things going, keep creating myself. You can hear it here through listening to Granny June talk about everything and how she runs her life and has no signs of stopping.
No.
So I hope that you find this interview inspiring, as it is to so many people, as she is to so many people. It's a very special episode, and I'm glad that you could share it with me. Granny, thanks for doing the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And what I have to say is, you never, never give up, and you never stop. That's what keeps you going. Keep busy. Keep going. Make the most out of your life.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grant's_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roné. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson. Granted Wish Productions, 2015.